This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
John Potter, live and local, every Saturday, 9 to noon. Okay, Washoe County Commission District 4 covers Sparks, Spanish Springs, and Hidden Valley. No Democrat is running for District 4. So whoever wins the Republican primary is going to win the seat. And in that primary, we have the appointed incumbent, Republican Clara Andreola. Her history is with the building construction industry. She's been head of the Reno Rodeo Foundation for, I think, about 10 years or so. And then there's retiree Tracy Hilton Thomas. She's like the Trumper candidate there. Mark Lawson is running. He's a former firefighter. We know him because Sparks hired him to be their new fire chief, but he was fired after a week on the job when he was hit with a criminal steroid charge, and he ended up suing Sparks for wrongful termination and settled for $381,000. Wow, I wish I had hired his lawyer. And finally, small business owner Trista Gomez. And Trista Gomez is here. Hi, Trista.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So interesting talking to you during the news. You are not like a political pro at all. You've lived in Reno Sparks for 47 years, basically in Washoe County, 47 years. You worked in social work and real estate. You're a small business owner. Tell me about yourself and what prompted you to run.
Well, all of that's true. So I've lived here my whole life, and I am a small business owner. I manage my husband's chiropractic office. The deal was, is when he got out, he said, I either have to work for somebody else or you have to manage the office. So that was the agreement. So I manage the office.
You raised how many kids?
I have four kids. My kids are 16, 18, and then they'll be 28 and 29 just in a month.
Oh, my
or so.
God.
Yes. So do the math there. You know, I care about this community. I've been here my whole life. My family's been here for four generations, and I started to get a little bit, I started to notice some of the things that were going on, and I thought, oh, I'm going to run for office, having no idea what that meant. And so that's what I've
Well, before we get to those things,
yes.
you speak for who?
I really, really speak for the people who I feel like have not really had a voice represented in their community. So my, you know, who I really have a heart for, the people are, I guess, that like me, you know, I call us the regular people, the circulatory system of all of this city, you know, the small business owners, the young people who are really having a hard time getting footing in this economy, the seniors who are on a fixed income and really don't need higher taxes to pay, you know, and then just regular blue collar working folk people. My family are all blue collar working folk people. I was the first in my family college graduate. And, you know, I mean, the people that work every day who sit in this traffic and sit in this development, those are the people that I really feel like we need to have a voice.
The people basically who have been bypassed.
I absolutely right? believe that they've been bypassed.
The middle class, the
yep.
elderly.
Yep.
Okay, so what are these things that prompted you to run for county commission in District 4?
It's a little bit of a funny story, but it's true. I got a fine for my Airbnb. So this fine for my Airbnb was $1,200, basically the amount of a misdemeanor fine. And so that was just the fine. And then the fee to license the Airbnb was $1,200 plus fire and, you know, some other safety things. So to put that into perspective, Clark County's STR, short-term rental fee, is $150. I think Lyon County has a $40 fee, and Douglas County does have a $400 fee, but of course they're tied into the lake to some degree. And
these are all very high for a small business.
Yeah, I mean, so to put this perspective, I mean, these Airbnb fees are, you know, I mean, they are so prohibitive to try to, you know, just to rent your house out short term, and it's a regulated format, you know. And so to get any answers, it was wild to get any answers from the county. And finally, after I did public comment one day, I got this whole slew of links to, you know, to all of the things that, you know, where they had approved it. And Mike Clark was one of the dissenting voices, I believe, Jeannie Herman. And their point was, why are we getting involved in this? This is going to create a whole new county department. This is going to create a whole new set of things that the county has to deal with. It's a regulated format. What are we doing? And the, you know, the liberal commissioners and Clara decided, no, we're going to tax these people. We're going to fine these people. And when the code enforcer came to my house, he was just on fire. He was just a fiery little guy on the camera. And I just thought, wow, like if a teacher or a, you know, social worker or a police officer came to and approached the public like this, this would not go well. And when I started asking questions, one of the supervisors really just said, I wish you would just pay the fine and let us do our job. And I thought, well, wow, what about me? And so that was the name of my thing. What about me? You know, what about us that are just trying to kind of, you know, trying to do something and live our lives in this high tax environment and, you know, keep some of the assets that we have and work with the resources that we have and not get taxed more. So that's what started it. And then I went on this whole thing about what was going on in the county, and it was really just it just seemed very unjust to me for the regular people.
But the incumbent in your district is a Republican. So she not following those principles?
I don't believe she's following those principles, and I did get a chance to talk to her one time at a senior event, and she basically, I mean, in my opinion, she's just unapologetic to any questions about what her constituents have. I know that the party has tried to talk to her.
We're talking about Clara.
Clara Andriola.
Andriola.
Yeah. You know, when I had sent her because she was my commissioner, I had no intention of running for office, but I'd CC'd her on 7 emails, and she just never had, I was never enough of a concern to her to even look into it or anything. I mean, so, you know, when I talked to the party, they just said, of course we don't want to disavow somebody from the party. It's, you know, it doesn't look good. It's a lot of process. It's a lot of procedure. It's a lot of, you know, that's not what we want to be doing. But based on her voting record, which despite her flyers really is in fact, I mean, the large, large majority with the more progressive liberal commissioners, you know, and I say they are not even on things that are just Democrat Republican, they're things that are really going to hurt all of us. There are increased revenue needs that the residents are going to have to pay for. There are increased development that the residents are going to have to sit in and pay for later with property taxes because we're doing backwards infrastructure funding. And so when I'm looking at all of these things, I mean, I have a little, you know, website, mm-hmm. The Truth About Clara. It's on my website.
The Truth About Clara.
I know. Or Clara's voting record. And it really just talks about her voting record. And because she says I'm a conservative and I vote like a conservative. And the reality is that I think that, you know, when she's giving the stats that she's giving, they're not based on the commission votes. I believe that they're based on maybe appointments and, you know, procedural votes, things that would be considered very commonplace that need to be done, you know, which makes sense. And of course, the government needs to work. So I'm not against those things. But on the commission votes, which that's on that website, really the ones that she's voted yes to, you can see that many, you know, conservatives would say, no, I don't really think that's what we stand for. I don't believe that those are our values. I don't believe that those meet our needs. And when we look at her funding sources, she's funded so much with casinos and developers. I mean, her funding.
Well, that's her background.
Right.
Building and developing.
Building and development.
And if, folks, if you're looking for that website, she spells her name differently. It's The Truth About Clara, and the Clara is C-L-A-I-R-A.
No, just Clara.
Oh,
no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because I made it. So it's
oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
The.
I just looked her up and it's.
Oh, right. Well, and yeah, she has one, but then I have, and I didn't know that she spelled her name differently, but.
I got
Yeah,
you.
So okay. It's the one I made it, and I just wanted to have, it's not exaggerated. It's a simple spreadsheet. I didn't want people to say, oh, she's trying to just make her look bad, or she's just trying to make a mess, or she's just trying to exaggerate things. Mm-hmm. It's Clara's voting record, or the truth about Clara, or it's, okay. Or you can find it on my website. And really, I just wanted people to know, because it's important that people understand I'm not just like out there banging a drum for nothing. I'm not. This is a lot of work.
This is serious stuff.
Yeah,
because
this is serious stuff.
You're talking about the fees on small business, and apparently you say you know people who either got out of their small business or decided not to open a small business because of these onerous policies and fees.
It's true.
Is that, you know, people who shut down or didn't,
well,
didn't
when,
open their dream small business?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I won't give any examples specifically because but really, I mean, there's some older people that are like, oh my gosh, like they've changed the Secretary of State site 15 times, which I know that's not county, but you know, we have now this fee and now we have to have the zoning regulations that they're doing. You know, and they're so, that is, I feel like a little bit almost insidious, because really that's not public stuff. They'll be like, oh, it's not safe to have this farm here, or it's not safe to have this church down in South Reno where there's no traffic on Sundays because of traffic. Or, you know, it's going to cost you $20,000 to do a traffic study, you know, for this little tiny shop down at the end of Huffacre, you know, by Huffacre. I mean, it's just like these fees are so intense that it just makes it so that even if you wanted to, I mean, you could, you're $100,000 in before you ever even know. And, you know, I mean, the small business statistics are, I mean, you're looking at an 80% failure rate for small businesses, even without all of those fees.
Tell people the wine store story.
Oh, okay.
You were telling me during the news.
Yeah. So I have a friend who, they own a wine shop in Reno, and they said before they ever even opened, before they could get their permitting, it was a $20,000 traffic study for this. And it,
for the store?
For the wine shop. You know, for their, say they can fit 50 people in this little wine shop, and it was a $50,000. And I love that they did it, because I love that little spot. But, you know, things like this, it's like those fees just to start are so, I mean, it's like.
A traffic study.
$20,000
for a small shop to have the city or the county do a.
I believe it was the city.
What a racket.
Yeah.
What an absolute racket this
is. Yeah.
I mean, some of these politicians are working for public office just to make some cash here, it sounds like.
Well, and I wonder if it's like, how many departments can we possibly create? You know, one of the things.
Their job is to make it easier for us.
Yeah. And they do it under the auspice of safety, right? I mean, I understand that, but.
Oh, my God.
But as.
That's our favorite line.
That's our favorite
line. Keep everything safe.
Yeah.
Did you know you can't park on Highway 50 at Tahoe anymore? Where is it, by Kingsbury Grade or somewhere? Because it's for safety.
Yeah.
It's for safety.
Yeah.
Or Sand Harbor, I think.
Sand Harbor, yeah.
Yeah, it's Sand Harbor.
Yeah.
Because people line up, and we're talking hundreds of cars. I mean, where else are they going to park? They're going to park alongside Highway 50, not in the lane. They're going to be on the side. Now they put up these no parking signs because Big Daddy and Big Mommy wants our safety. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I went off track. We're down to final minutes, so
Okay. Give
your pitch.
Really, I am for us. I say I'm for us. I'm for the community. I'm for the people who we have been, I feel, a little bit without a voice and a vote for a little bit. We are not, I don't feel that we're represented or looked at, you know, adequately with our needs and our values. And I feel like that is what I hope to provide. I hope to hear from, you know, everybody. I want to know what you guys need. I want to know what the issues are. And I want to make this a more community-friendly community, you know, for the people who live, work, and pay taxes in the community.
You've never run for office before?
No.
Boy, you must have by now be able to write a book about this experience.
I can't.
You know, what a ups and downs for sure. Okay, the website again, The Truth About Clara.
But can I do my website?
Oh, you have another one.
I have another one.
Oh,
yeah,
I thought that was it.
No, okay. No. I have one that's about me. That's just her voting record. Mine is Trista, Trista, the number 4, Washoe. So Trista4Washoe.com. And that tells a lot about me. I have a lot of stuff about me so that it, you know what I'm coming from.
Trista for Washoe.com. Is that for the number?
Either one. Yeah.
You got both.
I got both. Yep.
Awesome, Trista. Well, good luck on this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Trista Gomez for County Commissioner, Washoe County, District 4. All right. We're going to take a break. Be back. I'm John Potter. 884-9910 is our phone number. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1021.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
I got distracted. Hey, a croissant for breakfast sounds good. It's 1024. last night, we had a wonderful get-together with friends at a restaurant, and I met a gentleman who is in middle age, whose high school graduation I had the privilege of speaking at some years ago in 2001 when he was a student. And now this guy's over 40 years old. And at the Aces game, when I was in line this week on Thursday, there was a man there, and we were shooting the breeze, and he's 80 years old. You couldn't tell by looking at him. He's strong. He does the push-ups. He says he jogs every day. And that's how he stays fit. But at 80, this man drives 50 miles each way to work full-time. He's an accountant in Minden and lives, I guess, in the North Valley. So he's 80 years old. He's working full-time, and he's still going after it. And I am inspired by such examples like that. At the end of the day, you know, we know that time holds all the cards, right? And we don't get to determine how we live or how well we live. And there are medical, you know, misadventures and illnesses and who knows what fate has in store. But this notion of you get to a certain age and you have to retire or go sit on the bench is simply, for many of us, not true. And again, I understand there are people who have physical reasons or other things where they have to retire. But life is out there, and until that time, when absolute inability ties you up to a chair, get up and get out there. Now, if you got some pension or something that's waiting for you, and it's going to be a lifelong check, and it's going to be a big holiday for you, then I understand, you know, go live a vigorous holiday for the rest of your life. But if there's no pension, why not keep working? Why not stay productive? Why not keep moving and thinking and doing and interacting and producing? All of those things, as opposed to wearing us out, more often than not, they build us up. Sometimes the worst thing you can do for your health and your lifespan is to retire and sit. And that's kind of why I'm here. And I turn 70 years old next month, and I hope it doesn't sound like I'm almost 70. Anyway, let's go to the phones, 884-9910. Stephen calling from Lyon County. Hey, Stephen, I'm glad you called. Good morning. Is he there, Craig? Hi, Stephen. Did we lose him or am I lost? I'm usually lost. Oh, there he is. Hey, Stephen, go ahead.
We're not going to be able to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. It's those darn cell phones. Try again later, Stephen, maybe after 11 o'clock. We have Sharon Engel as our guest coming up in just 2 minutes after Fox News here. Anyway, as I was saying, when you get up every day with something to do and someplace to be and something to keep your mind and your body active, I think that makes you more prone to wake up again tomorrow and be ready to do it again. I have professional ambitions still and new things I want to try and do. I'd like to work at least another 10 years, you know, and I hope that I have the capability and opportunity to do just so. But just walking around that restaurant last night, you know, two other folks caught my attention. Hey, John Potter, come over here. And to think that even though I've been off the TV news job I've had for like 3 or 4 years now, the fact that people would be so kind to, number one, listen or watch over so many years I've been here, and number two, bring up so many things that they remember that I said over time, leaves me humbled and just staggeringly grateful for the fact that so much of my adult life I've worked on the radio and in the news media of some sort of another in Nevada. And over those years, I've just had the opportunity to see and witness fascinating things, and far more important, to meet great, great people. That's why I still want to do what I do. Okay, we're going to break for Fox News. Sharon Angle is up next. I'm John Potter. 884-9910. If you have a question for Sharon, we'd be happy to take those too. Fox News next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1029.
All the information for the entire northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hi, folks. I'm John Potter, live and local. The race for Senate District 15, vacated by longtime Republican Senator Heidi Gansert, now includes six candidates. We have three in each party, and we have to get a Republican to win this one because we're too close to having the Democrats having that supermajority in the Nevada Senate, and that would enable the Democrats to override Governor Lombardo's vetoes, and they can pass changes to Nevada's tax structure without any Republican votes at all. So in the Democrat primary, we have Reno councilperson Naomi Dewar, former Washoe County School Board president. Name slips me right now. Nevada, a newcomer, and former judge Johnny Kearns. In the Republican primary, we have Mike Ginsburg. He's a Reno Parks and Rec commissioner, senior advocate Mark Newman, and Sharon Angle. Sharon served in the Nevada Assembly from 1999 to 2007 and famously ran against U.S. Senator Harry Reid in 2010. And she is with us here today. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, John. It's so great to be on your show. You know, you pretty well summed up why I jumped into the race.
That was my first question. Okay, so it's been a while since you really were in the race, you know, and really into politics. Something big must have prompted you to come out after so long and get in the race again. So tell us about that.
Well, things are critical now, John. I think everybody realizes that. All you have to do is drive up to the gas pump, see that shocking sticker price, yeah, and know that the governor was right to veto a bill, AB 359, which would have increased our gas tax, and which one of my opponents, the one you can't remember her name, famously Angie Taylor.
Oh, Angie Taylor, former school board.
She voted for that. And so that means that there is no compassion on that side. They get their turn at government with no holds barred. We're going to be seeing inflation, tax increases, all of the tax and spend stuff that we have been trying to stave off for years.
That is the number one issue. I keep saying this all the time, every single Saturday. That's the issue. The cost, the gas, the supermarket, the inflation, which the media tells us is going down. It's not. Those prices are still high, and people are stretched right now, even though the other party keeps trying to divert our attention with, abortion and what, the democracy is threatened and everything. Don't fall for it. There's not going to be a civil war, folks, because if there is a civil war, who's going to mail the Social Security checks? Okay? People are not going to risk those. I'm sorry, I'm getting off my rant.
Well, there are some really critical things at stake here. And in 2022, the turnout for the primary was dismal, and for the general election was dismal as well. We have to stand up and overwhelm the polls, and it's a good time to start right now, June 11th. We need to get out there and show that we're in this, that we're not just standing back and letting them steamroll us with this economic stuff. with this public safety things, John, you know, people are really very concerned about our borders, about our communities, about our schools. It all comes down to, am I safe?
About the things that affect them and their families.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we talk about those things, we see a force from the left trying to actually defund our first responders rather than giving them the resources they need to protect us. And so that's, you know, one and two on my reasons to run. First, the economy. Second, public safety. But overall, if we lose this seat, Senate 15 is the most critical seat in the state. If we lose this seat, our governor becomes irrelevant. Mm-hmm. He can veto all he wants, but we can't sustain. And once that happens, they bring back everything. Everything that he vetoed, 75 things he vetoed last time, and more, and more. It's so critical. I guess I get passionate about it. That's why I jumped in, because it's a time when everybody needs to stand up and be counted. I thought, I'll coast for a while. No coasting. You kind of mentioned it. 80 years old, not coasting. 70 years old. Not coasting.
Well, you know,
60 years old, not coasting. 50 years old, you do not retire from freedom. If you do,
you
will lose it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to make you sound old by talking about 2010 and your last big race or anything, but Sharon, a lot of people have moved to Reno and to Washoe County, and in Senate District 15, a lot of people have moved here from out of state, and they don't know about you. So, Tell us a bit about you personally.
Well, I was raised here in Reno, 3 years old when we came, went to local schools, Anderson, Roger Corbett. If you remember Old Southside, went there. EOS Vaughn graduated from University of Reno and also from Wooster High School. I went in to be an artist. People don't really think of me as a fine artist, but that's my education. I had to have a speech class during that time to graduate. And at midterms, my professor told me, you have a solid F and there's no way to redeem yourself. I said, oh, there must be something I can do. He said, well, there is one thing. I will give you a C if you promise never to do any public speaking. I said, done. You know, an artist, what do I need to do with public speaking? Well, at a certain point in my life, I was 25 years old, I met Jesus. He changed everything exceedingly abundantly above what I could think of and put me squarely into the political arena where I have deep concerns about my abilities. I mean, the speech teacher told me, you're terrible. And at that point, I realized that in my weakness, he's made strong. And from that point on, he put me into a school board in Nye County. I served for a term there. I served for, as you pointed out, 8 years in the Nevada Assembly. I was recruited to run for Congress in 2006. And in 2010, I ran against Harry Reid. Everything on the internet that you read about me is probably put there by Harry Reid, so take it with a grain of salt.
Bunch of stupid stuff there, and that 2010 loss, as I told you when you came in here, it broke my heart terribly. You were saying things that nobody else was saying, and you were right. You said, back in 2010, you said Nevada is not a low-tax state.
It's not.
It's not. It was. It was when I was here in the 70s. It's not a low-tax state. You were saying things nobody else was saying, and you were relating to people, as you were just talking about, trying to get by.
Yes.
And government's job is to make that easier, not more difficult, and raising the whatever would have happened if they had a supermajority. Yes. What was that already? I mean, now, the Republican Party, are they your friend now?
Always my friend.
Really?
Everybody's my friend, John. I don't like. I'm just like Will Rogers.
I don't think the Republican Party was your friend at all.
In 2010, we had our differences. There's no doubt about it.
They ruined, you were not to blame. They ruined your 2010 campaign. You were going to win. Those feckless party heads ruined it for you.
If they had stayed in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
we would have been fine. And that's the problem, isn't it, with government? They get involved where we really don't need them. And when they should be involved, where are they?
And the party didn't want you to run against Joe Heck, did it?
No.
See, right there. The National Party trying to get you out of the race to run against Joe Heck in 2016, I think it was.
Right. Right. Well, we've had several clashes along the way. Generally speaking,
you're running your own campaign now, though.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But generally speaking, here in Washoe County, it's a new day for Republicans. They're a little rocky still, but I'll tell you, my signs are down there. So are all of my walk pieces. If you want to go down to Washoe County headquarters and pick up things, my stuff's there. If you talk to anybody in that office about Senate 15, they'll tell you Sharon Engel's the one. So I have crossed those bridges again, hoping that we can become what we're supposed to be, which is the grand old party, right?
You are a sincere and vibrant person. We're going to take a break and be back for another segment with Sharon Engel. Phone number 884-9910. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1045.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
John Potter live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon in the Republican primary for Senate District 15. We have Sharon Engel. She's in the studio with us. Our phone number 884-9910. Let's talk about this race. Okay, Republican primary. Sharon, you came out to run in this after being on the ballot for some time. We already have Republican Mike Ginsburg and senior advocate Mark Newman. What's wrong with these two?
They haven't got the experience that it's going to take to win over Angie Taylor, that I really believe she'll probably be the one that comes out of this race with Naomi Doerr. But it doesn't matter. All three on that side are the same person. And the machinery that they have going against them is exactly the machinery that I had going against me in 2010 with Harry Reid. Now, I learned a lot running against Harry Reid. I know how to fight that machinery. And these other two guys, they're new at this. They're inexperienced. I was just afraid the machine would eat them alive and they wouldn't even know they were gone until it was over. So I know people said, oh, well, you jumped in so late. That was by design, because the last person to jump into the filing always gets the most press, John. You know that. They're waiting down there to see who's going to come in. And when they saw me, it shook everybody. It surprised the other side. They are still kind of reeling from Sharon Engel being in this race. And why did she do that? Because they saw that there was, in our race, in our Republican race, people who didn't know what they were doing and were going to jump in like babes in the woods, lambs to the slaughters, however you want to say this. They knew what that race was going to look like until I came on board. When I came on board, that race completely changed, and they're still reeling on that stage. They still don't know exactly how to handle Sharon Engel in this race.
Speaking of 2010, my boss at Channel 2 at the time was like, well, you're the only Republican here. I want you to get Sharon Engel for an interview. And I tried, but the National Party was controlling your campaign, and I could not get you for the interview. Mm. And it looked to us that the party told you not to do interview. I don't know.
They never even told me you asked.
Well, maybe,
how about that?
Or maybe you had a terrible campaign manager at the end. I don't know. So no. I had to cover the awful, in lieu of that, I had to cover the awful Harry Reid. And I remember going down to cover his visit to Wells Avenue. It was a Reno visit to court the Hispanic vote. But all he did was wander around without talking, us reporters following. We walked into a Mexico clothing emporium, the big one right across from Marketon there, and he took a sombrero off the shelf and he put it on. He let reporters take his picture. He was like Biden, really, by 2010. He really couldn't say more to people than a sentence or two. And I remember him standing in a taco shop there. He's just standing. Nobody's coming up to talk to him. It was all for the press. I was allowed to ask questions, but every time I asked a question, his campaign guy didn't like any of my questions. You know, he kept coming up and saying, "That's untrue. He really doesn't feel that way." Every single frickin' question, and he's just standing there with nothing to do. And I just can't believe, and I'm just angry that you didn't beat him, especially since it was so close.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are still angry over that. I have to tell you that it's a philosophical thing for me. And I want your listeners to weigh this. Harry Reid, after he won that election, went in and got the nuclear option, which is how you can confirm a judge, a Supreme Court judge, and any other federal judge with 50% of the vote plus one, not the 60% that was required or the 60 votes that were required. He did that for Barack Obama, but Barack Obama never used it. However, Donald Trump did. And if Harry Reid hadn't done that, Donald Trump wouldn't have gotten us three new Supreme Court judges and a slew of federal appointees. So I have to weigh that against myself. I'm not so proud to think that a freshman senator would have done better than three Supreme Court judges and lots of federal appointees. So I have to say that that was a ground for me to run in, to understand the other side better and how they work, to understand our side and how they work as well. Sometimes those that are on our side are really not on our side. Remember, a lot of people can't get elected in Washoe County unless they say they're conservative. If you listen to Democrats, they're going to tell you they're conservative. Not only that, if you're a Republican, it's even better. And so many of those Democrats changed to the Republican Party. Those are the Republicans in name only that we recognize whenever we hear them open their mouth. And we say, how do we cleanse our party of this? Well, we really can. I mean, the grand old party's an open party. And we let people come and join our party and they run for office under our banner. And sometimes we get up the gumption enough to say, not that one, not here, not now. But by and large, our party is in such a conflict over who they really are that we need to not retire from the party and retreat, but actually go in, reinforce and become that grand old party again.
And that's what you're doing.
And I have to tell you, you know, I ran for 4 years as an independent way back. And the reason that I went back to the grand old party is precisely this. We need to make our voices heard in the primary. This is where we can elect true Republicans. Separate the wheat from the chaff. By the time you get to the general, all you have is the choice that the party has made for you.
Well, this is not U.S. Senate. This is, and we talked a lot about national things here. Mm-hmm. This is the Nevada Senate.
Yes,
what
it
are
is.
You tackling? What local issue are you going to tackle?
Well, I think we pretty well spoke to those. First of all, I'm the low tax advocate here in the state. I have a record that no one else has been able to really touch except maybe Don Gustafson. He and I have had that discussion. And he's supporting me, he said, because we've been that close in fighting these things. But those things, inflation, tax increases, they go hand in hand. And those are the things that I can fight here at the local level in the state legislature.
You could do a lot there.
I can. I can help get resources for our first responders so that we can feel safe in our streets and in our schools again. I can be that sustaining vote for the governor so he becomes that powerhouse that he has shown to be. 75 vetoes. I'd like to see him continue to do that. You know, I, as an assemblywoman, I was able to get bills passed from that minority position with unanimous votes. I got the most freeing homeschool law in the United States here in Nevada.
Why, there she and, goes. You're the you got the fire back, honey.
Well, and I also passed the Right to Read Act, which makes teachers learn to teach phonemic awareness as part of their toolbox. I also got a public safety bill passed. So, you know, there are things that I can do that position.
Your credentials are amazing. We have 1 minute. What's your website?
VoteSharonEngle.com. VoteSharonEngle.com. You can go there. You can help me. You can donate. You can walk the streets with me, make phone calls. There's all kinds of things that can be done to help with this rate. VoteSharonEngle.com.
You got folks excited here.
I hope so.
Well, the old spirit is back. I feel it.
Good.
Sharon Engle for Senate District 15. Vote for Sharon. .com. It's so good to see you again after all this time. I can't believe how good you look, and the energy you have is contagious.
Well, just remember, VoteSharonEngle.com. Don't be surprised if you get a little message that says this is an insecure website. Just click through. Say you trust me.
All right,
sweetie. Because there's all kinds of things afoot, right?
Thank you, Sharon. We'll be back after Fox News. I'm John Potter.